how long ago it was when I started this lesson, just from one verse. When was it?
October.
October. I think it was probably the last of September.
This was the third one.
Just that single verse in James chapter 1, verse 19. Says, so then, my beloved, let every man be, here the first phrase, swift to hear. So we gave a few lessons on how the importance of being swift to hear God's word. And then the next phrase is slow to speak. And I gave you 13 or 14, 15 different warnings or admonitions about speech that the Bible gives. And then the last lesson, slow to wrath. And so we've been doing this for several weeks. It says, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the the righteousness of God. So there's a danger in wrath. And so the admonition is slow to wrath. By definition, obviously slow, ease up, be measured, reduce speed. Obviously, don't be quick to wrath. Slow. But the idea of wrath goes along with the word anger. I put in your notes by definition. You typically, when looking at the definitions, it's an outburst, improper outburst. And just other things go along with it. It's indignation, strong displeasure, heated. You're irate. So the admonition that James gives, slow down. Gave you several Bible stories to illustrate wrath and the consequences of wrath. Samson, his anger was so aroused. In other words, in his anger, in Judges chapter 14, verse 19, his anger was so aroused, he went down to Ascalon and killed 30 of the Philistines. And then the Philistines retaliated. So in Judges 15, verse 3, in his anger, Samson turns and burns the Philistines' crops. And so it wasn't a very good outcome. But the consequences of wrath. Looked at Naaman. Naaman, 2 Kings 5, Naaman became furious. Yeah, Elisha said, go dip in the River Jordan. He says, oh, no. We have cleaner rivers in my country. Can't I do that there? And so, no. So he went away in a rage. Furious. Just wrath. We looked at this. I told you the story of King Ahasuerus in Esther chapter 1. He was having a banquet or a party, and he wanted the queen to come in, and she refused. And in verse 11 of Esther chapter 1, he was furious. His anger burned within him, and so he banished her from being queen in his wrath. In the same book, Haman, Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. And so Haman was filled with wrath, is the story in Esther chapter 3. Sought to destroy all the Jews. Oh, Haman. So, but then he's hung on his own gallows that he built for Mordecai. Then I told you the story of King Uzziah, and I didn't put that one in your notes. Christine pointed that out. I told a story that I didn't, it wasn't in your notes, but it was in mine. So I just left it out in typing up the outline about King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26. It says his heart was lifted up to his destruction because he transgressed against the Lord his God. He wanted to go into the sanctuary and offer a sacrifice. They said, priests came out, 80 of the priests came out and said, no, that's for the Levites to do. You can't, even though you're king, you can't sacrifice in the temple. So in the verse, then Uzziah became furious. And while he was angry, leprosy broke out in his forehead. And so the 80 priests thrust him out of the temple because the Lord struck him with leprosy, and he had leprosy till he died. King Asa, in your notes, in 2 Chronicles 16, he relied on the king of Syria to go to battle instead of relying on God. And so the prophet came to him and told him, you didn't rely upon God. You've done foolishly. Then it says, then Asa was angry. enraged is another word that's used because of that. And so then he was diseased because of that. He relied upon physical powers instead of God. And then he dies. So now the next one is King Herod. Familiar story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. All right, Herod, you're angry, you're furious, you're filled with wrath. What are you going to do? So he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel, weeping for the children, refused to be comforted because they are no more. Herod, angry, didn't get to kill King Jesus. Yeah. So I'll destroy all the other babies that I see. Jesus reading, next one, Jesus reading in the synagogue. In Luke chapter 4 is the story. I wrote all these verses down, so I'll just read them, tell you. I could tell you the story, but I like to read. I like to read the verses. Luke chapter 4, beginning of verse 16. So he, meaning Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, as his custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book, found the place where it was written, and then he read this from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight of the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Well, they didn't like that. We don't want that scripture fulfilled in our hearing and you telling us that you're the one. So verse 28 is the consequences. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Oh, now what's going to happen? Rose up and thrust him, meaning Jesus, out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Wow, what a picture. You have a crowd that's filled with wrath. We're going to throw you over the cliff. And he just walks through. Oh, me. This is from the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon, what do you think about wrath? Here they are. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. It's our discretion. We have the choice. Proverbs 23, verse 3. A stone is heavy and is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. I have a kind of a good news Bible in my office, and it's just written by one man, Eugene Peterson, and it's his commentary on the Bible, or his putting it in the language of common man. So this verse of Proverbs 12, verse 16, he said, fools have short fuses, explode all too quickly. The prudent quietly shrugs off insults. Mm-hmm. So that's how he, his take on that particular verse. Proverbs 14, verse 29, He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. Great wrath. Proverbs 30, verse 33. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. Here's what Eugene Peterson said. If you're dumb enough to call attention to yourself by offending people and making rude gestures, don't be surprised if someone bloodies your nose. Churned milk turns to butter, and riled emotions turn into fistfights. That's how he... So if you don't understand the King James, Eugene Peterson will get it for you. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, don't hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Eugene Peterson said, don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. He's angry. So Eugene Peterson, his translation is not a word for word translation of the Greek or the Hebrew. It's just his summary of the verse in today's language. So he kind of says it like it is. I just want to get to the cure and we'll close. And again, I don't have comments. I just have these verses written down. So here, what's wrong with anger? What's wrong with that outburst of wrath? Wow, consequences. So what's the cure? How do I keep from that outburst? Well, Psalm 37, beginning at verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, or because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. The meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's an interesting phrase, the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't want to inherit the earth. I have trouble maintaining the property on the corner of our streets. I don't know how I can take care of a whole earth if I inherited the earth. But the meaning is the meek know how to live on the earth. No matter what takes place, and we have in our news, you know, we even say it in our prayers, God, we pray for peace in our world. You know, there's a lot of things happening in our world, but the meek inherit the earth, meaning we know how to live because of the hope that's within us. Jesus said, and right, John 16, verse 33, in the world you have tribulation. Yeah, that's for sure. I don't want to inherit the earth, but be of good cheer. Wait a minute. In the world I have tribulation. He says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. John says this is the faith that overcomes the world, or the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Yeah. So when you inherit the earth, I don't want to inherit the earth. I just want to know how to live in it. So what are we going to do when I have this urge to have an outburst of wrath? Don't fret. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Feed on His faithfulness. Delight myself in the Lord. Commit my way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't fret. Wait on the Lord. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. But when you do good and suffer... Wait a minute, I just did good. And I'm suffering? When you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, that's commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He didn't threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. So what am I going to do? When I'm doing good and I suffer for it? Just be sure we don't commit sin. You know, Ephesians 4, verse 32, be angry, but don't sin. Don't sin. The last one I have is Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, don't have that sudden outburst, that outpouring that is just improper. Not handling things correctly, causes retaliation, those kinds of things. Don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, I wish He hadn't written this, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. He's my enemy. It's my enemy. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil. Oh, see? What am I going to do when I have this urge to be filled with wrath? Just don't be overcome with evil. Don't sin. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's the lesson. Slow to wrath, as we noted, because of the consequences. And there's a cure. There's a cure. Don't always like the cure. Don't always like it, but that's the challenge. That's the goal. Always on, when we assemble, at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's an opportunity for you to obey the gospel message, if you have not done so already, to become a Christian. So we're going to do that again this evening, sing that invitation song. It's a simple process or procedure, a plan or steps that we say to summarize how to become a Christian. Obviously, number one, you need to hear. Jesus sent His disciples into all the world, preach the gospel, give information out. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can they believe in someone they haven't heard? So that first step is we have to get the message out. People have to hear. Second, they need to believe that message. Jesus said it Himself in John chapter 4, verse 24. Except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe that good news gospel message. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe. If I want to come to God, I must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. Then a third step in Jesus' words in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Repent. Or perish, and I don't want to perish. Then we make our confession of faith. When Philip gave a Jesus sermon to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, he stopped him. He said, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he made a confession. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water. The verse says both Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. So that fifth step is being baptized. So we hear, We believe that good news gospel message. We are willing to repent, turn our life toward God, make our confession of faith, and are baptized. And then from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the invitation that we have. So if you're subject to it, that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that this evening. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you need to respond in a public way, please come while we're singing this song.